With all that hot rhetoric in Washington and the unorthodox style of our President Trump, it's difficult to see at times if there's actually any planning or forethought into some of the actions that the administration takes, specifically with regards to tariffs and negotiating with other countries. Well, that all may have changed as the dust has begun to clear about a possible strategy behind all of these tariffs and the renegotiated inter-country agreements that we've seen recently. To explore this further, I've invited Rick Newman. He's the senior columnist at Yahoo Finance, and he joins me right now. Welcome back, Rick.
Thanks, Steve. Happy to be with you.
So, to begin with, it seems the administration has been fighting a trade war on multiple fronts, and I think most generals would tell you that's probably a really bad idea. I think generals told Hitler that as well when he went into Russia. You know, you spread your forces thin, you lose some of your power. And that's what this strategy has looked like. He's been attacking Mexico and Canada and the European Union and now China and so on. What does that look like to you?
Well, it looked very chaotic earlier in the year when Trump was basically, as you say, picking fights with everybody. But what's happening now is you're seeing a kind of a consolidation of Trump's trade policy. And my best guess at what's going on here is that this is not the way Trump planned it all along, but that as he has sort of led his trade team in the direction he wants to go, the whole effort has really kind of consolidated around this idea that the biggest battle here really is China, and the biggest problem really is China. You know, Trump has his issues with Canada and Mexico, but most economists will tell you, we don't have a problem with Canada and Mexico on trade.
Yeah.
You know, we may have deficits of certain types with those countries, but that's not inherently a bad thing. There's nothing really wrong with that. And in fact, this new trade deal that Trump has now got in place with Mexico and Canada is really not very different from the old deal, which was NAFTA.
Yeah.
So Trump has kind of settled that dispute, and it looks as if he's basically marshaling his forces to put most or all of the focus on China.
Okay. Well, I want to get into some of that in a minute. Was there a sense that, are you starting to think that there's a strategy here because the speed in which they wrapped up the NAFTA deal?
Not exactly, because there were some other reasons to get that NAFTA deal done, and they mainly involved the change of administrations in Mexico. So we have a new president coming in to power in Mexico. I think he takes office on December 1st, and the Trump administration did not want to get into a situation where negotiated a deal with the outgoing administration that the new administration may not support.
Yeah.
So they're going to get that deal done with the outgoing administration. And then that fight will basically be over for the time being, which leaves more resources to focus on China.
Yeah, but we still have not come to any kind of an agreement, negotiations with the European Union. What's going on there?
Well, the United States does not have a free trade deal with the European Union. And Trump has imposed these steel and aluminum tariffs on many countries, including Europe. And in return, Europe has imposed tariffs on a like amount of U.S. exports to the European Union. Now, that's not a lot. Famously, that involves Harley-Davidson motorcycles that are made here and sent to Europe. That's not a lot. And there have been talks. And Trump has said publicly that he wants a free trade deal with the European Union. Now, that's not easy. You know, so he's got these small bore steel aluminum tariffs and then the retaliatory measures. But there's talk about getting rid of all that and making a bigger deal. But for the time being, I think it's fair to say there's at least a truce in place with regard to Europe.
Well, Europe's got big problems, too. I mean, they're trying to negotiate a Brexit at the moment, which is very hard to do. So it would be, I think, I don't want to say almost impossible, but very difficult to kind of get anywhere with the European Union. But I think there's been some talk that now the United States is trying to come together with the European Union to now target China as well. So to kind of build what was a dispersed strategy of attacking everywhere at once, now starting to get allies in your camp and concentrating on the true foe. Do you think that's an accurate assessment?
I think that's where it's headed. Trump has sort of gone in that direction reluctantly. And it is worth keeping in mind that this is exactly what the Trans-Pacific Partnership, you know, the dreaded TPP, that's exactly what it was supposed to do. Get countries, including Canada, Mexico, and others in their own trade deal to form a trading bloc that would have more leverage in negotiations with China than any single nation would on its own. And in fact, interestingly, some of the things that ended up being in the trade deal with Canada and Mexico came right out of the TPP that Trump supposedly hates and said was one of the worst deals ever. I mean, it's very interesting. But if you know, I've been talking to trade experts through this whole ordeal. And from the beginning, they said, look, if your real problem is with China, and there are some legitimate trade abuses going on in China, the way to approach that is not with tariffs, because you, in order for tariffs to work, you have to hurt yourself first in order to hurt the trading partner. The way to do it is get all your allies together and mass forces against China, because most countries in Europe have exactly the same problems the United States has with regard with China. You know, the theft of intellectual property, the difficulty entering the Chinese market. And only now, after kind of a couple of misfires, does Trump seem to be coming around to this idea that trade experts have been saying for some time, which is get everybody together and form an alliance that will have more power confronting China.
The one strength that the Trump negotiating strategy has, though, is that the U.S. economy is extremely strong right now. And it's got plenty of, you know, gunpowder to fire later. So I don't know whether he's planned that or whether that's just has been around long enough. The economy has grown. Maybe the tax cut, of course, helped some. But, you know, don't you think that that puts the United States in a pretty good position?
Yes, I think it does. I think you can look at the performance of the U.S. economy and the Chinese economy just this year alone. And it's pretty clear that the U.S. economy is not hurting very much from Trump's trade war with China, whereas the Chinese economy is hurting. I mean, you can see it just in the stock market. U.S. stock market is up modestly this year, and the Chinese market is down. The Shanghai Stock Index, for example, down around 20%.
Yeah.
Now, the stock market in China is not the same as it is here. Everybody doesn't have their retirement savings invested in the stock market, so it's less important. Mm-hmm. So, yes, the U.S. has that advantage. But I think the U.S. faces a disadvantage as well, which is that we have electoral politics. And we could have Trump's power could end up diminished in November if he loses one or both houses of Congress to the Democrats. Not really the case in China. President Xi Jinping is basically president for life. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to explain to an electorate why he's imposing policies that might be hurting some voters. They don't really even have voters in China. So it's possible that China can just hold out longer than the United States for political reasons rather than economic ones.
Of course, they've got over a billion people that they don't really want to tick off.
Yeah, that's true. So, you know, President Xi can't do whatever he wants. He does have to pay attention to, you know, restless workers and things like that. But again, China has a more of a state-run economy than the United States. And there are things that the Chinese government can do to just stimulate the economy, prop up the economy. Mm-hmm. You know, many of the banks are controlled by the government, so they can turn lending, you know, credit on or off basically as they wish. They have a more ability to sweep real economic problems under the rug. So that's the dynamic we face. I mean, President Trump doesn't seem like he's going to back down. And, you know, people who understand China say China's not going to suffer an embarrassing defeat here. If they're ever going to agree to any kind of deal, there's going to have to be some face-saving way out for the Chinese to say to their own constituency at home, we got a good deal here.
So for the rest of us, I think it makes sense for us to put our sights on China now, our focus on China. And, you know, heaven knows that with all of the news out there, it's nice to have something to focus on. Hopefully, you know, this will help us understand the world situation and what's really going on. My guest, Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance, trying to explain stuff to us. And I appreciate the way you did it. Rick, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on, Steve.
And if you have a question about what we just discussed, ask us. Visit our website, stevepomerantz.com, to join the conversation, to listen, or to read all of our segments. And while you're there, sign up for our weekly update for the important topics we've covered straight into your inbox. That's stevepomerantz.com.